Let's go out to the Toyota of Hollywood guest line. Shop hundreds of Toyotas indoors at one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. I figure we get this man's opinion on this. John Michaels, mornings on 680 The Fan in Atlanta. John, South Florida guy, but of course, boots on the ground there in Atlanta. So we figured he's got the heat tatted up. So this is a man part of Heat Nation, but also, probably knows more about what is going on with this whole Hawks summer going in, because it's a weird summer for them. Yeah, John, like they got the number one pick out of nowhere. They seem to have this question about who the hell fits next to Trae Young anymore. So I guess going into it, before we dive into Trae Young to the Heat, like, what do you think is going to happen with Atlanta this summer?
With the Hawks, expect mediocrity is what you can expect. I mean, you're talking about a franchise that passed on Chris Paul, a franchise that took Sheldon Williams and told everybody, hey, we're going to take him, traded away Luka Doncic, although I'm a big Trae Young fan, so I don't think that's as bad as people made it out to be. But the problem is they've overpaid, traded for DeJounte Murray, gave up 3 first-round picks for him. He's a solid guy and whatnot. But before we dive into this, Tobin, I got to ask you, Leroy, former NFL player, and I listen to you guys a lot when I'm driving home because I want to hear my Miami sports talk, either you guys or Hockman and Crowder. And I noticed there's something with the former NFL players. I work with Brian Finneran, who played for the Falcons forever.
Yeah.
You guys love to just give us radio guys crap. And I noticed when we come back, you're calling Tobin phony and everything else. Tobin, I got your back, bro.
Thanks,
I got your back, man.
It's these nice. Thank guys. You. Thank
Wait
you.
Up, Julia. Hold on. I would not allow this. You don't understand this, dude. This guy has been on Trae Young. Oh, Trae Young, we made him yell pineapple. We did this. And now I come into work today and he's saying, hey, I'm kind of feeling this Trae Young thing. No! No!
That was a plan A. Just like, you got to be open to it.
If you were to say that, if you were to say, I'm done with him, after you have supported him for all these years, I understand that. But you can't go the other way.
Why not?
No, not in sport. You can't be a guy who has made fun of him, that garden gnome, his hair flapped. He's made so much fun of Trae Young over the years. And now he greets me this morning with, hey, how you doing? I'm warming up to Trae Young. That's how I'm doing. No, no.
Hey, but this is what happens when you lose 4-1, and we got Boston down in Miami celebrating.
Exactly.
That's what happened.
Yeah, but do you think Trae Young is going to help that?
Okay. 100% he will help.
No. Why does everybody think? I think I just see Trae Young getting caught up in a blender and getting pick and rolled to death with all of these big wings. And these big point guards.
Yeah, but the difference is the Heat have a Bam Adebayo behind. They have a Jimmy Butler who actually wants to play defense. He's been in Atlanta where Clint Capella can't guard me. I mean, I'm 49 years old with bad Achilles and everything else. I think I could jump Clint Capella. He's never had anybody to really help him. And I agree, Leroy, let's be real. The NBA is now all about pick and roll and setting up matchups. How about every now and then fight through a screen and stay on the guy that's supposed to be guarding you? And I think for Trae, maybe more than the defensive side, anything, I think he needs somebody to push him. I think there needs to be a culture aspect behind his game. Not to say he's been entitled in Atlanta, because he hasn't, but he has been a little bit. They made an Eastern Conference Finals back in 2021 and everybody patted him on the back. You're the greatest ever. And then the last couple of years, they fired multiple coaches. They've tried to put different pieces around him, and there's been no accountability for him to be better in the one aspect that he's failed at. So that's where I'm with Tobin. I love Trae. I don't want him to leave Atlanta because I think he is somebody here that's a big draw. But if I can get my Heat back in the NBA Finals, yeah, and Trae Young is the piece, let's do it, and let's do it now.
Do you? I should have known your feelings on this because Tobin – he searches the web.
That's not fair.
For feelings that are similar to his. And then they bring you guys on and railroad me.
That's not right? Fair, dude.
Wait.
No,
so he's like, you know what? John Michaels loves Trae. I'm going to get him on.
Well, I just felt you were too dismissive about it yesterday. That's why. I figured we'd get a man who does love Trae Young, who has seen Trae Young do big things. And I also, like, what is the feeling over there, though, John? Like, do they feel like this is actually the end of the Trae Young era? Because, like, it's silly time right now, so everything's kind of out in the ether. Like, is there a thought that they're going to break up him and DeJounte Murray and ship Murray, ship Trey, go with the number one pick, rebuild? Like, what are the thoughts there of what they're going to do?
You know what's crazy? The Hawks, when I say haphazard organization, multiple general managers, Landry Fields there, the owner's son's involved. I think it's 50-50 what they're going to do one way or the other. Because truthfully, I think if you want a guy to really build around, it's supposed to be Trae Young. You traded away Luka Doncic for him. He's a guy that's a walking 26-10 in his sleep on his worst day. But the other thought is, has it run its course? You know, you traded away, again, the three first-round picks for DeJounte Murray. So after this year, the Hawks have no picks. So they have to try to recruit. So the way that you recoup is either trade away your one asset that everybody wants in Trae Young. Maybe trade away DeJounte Murray, who's not going to bring you the same haul in return. Or you trade away the first overall pick in a draft that normally, if you had the first pick, everybody would be clamoring to get these guys. But Alex Saar, Risha Shea, Reed Shepard, nobody cares about these dudes. I think 50-50 whether Trae Young's going to be there or not. And I just think it's going to be how much of a package can they get in return. This is a guy that signed a five-year, $215 million extension. So he's under contract for three more years at 40-plus mil per. So you're going to have to send back that kind of money to the Hawks. And they're going to want picks or young players because they need pieces to build around. Outside of Trey and DeJounte and whoever the hell they pick at number one, it looks like the Risha Shea kid or the Donovan Clingan kid. Outside of that, they don't really have anybody that anybody cares about.
Can I interest you in the Tyler Hero?
So, for personal reason. No. Hear me out. So,
oh, no, you just No.
You got to hear me out on this one.
All right.
For personal reasons, my son is a 15-year-old basketball lover, and he loves the Heat like I do. If you heard me on Hawkman and Crowder, his Christmas gift, we came to Miami to go to a Heat game. He had never been to a Heat game in the Heat's house. So me and him flew down, went to South Beach, did all that stuff. His favorite player hanging on the wall, he patterns his game after, is Tyler Hero. I cannot have Tyler Hero leaving the Miami Heat. But I've cooked up a better package. Ooh. Hear me out on this one.
Oh, boy. Hear me out. He usually said, follows with something.
Terry Rozier. Ooh. Dear. Duncan Robinson. Whoever we pick at 15, because you can't trade the 15th pick until you make for Trae Young.
Okay.
Can I interest you in that?
Trae for Terry Rozier, well, Duncan Robinson.
Trae is going to take Rozier's spot. So that's where we are there.
For sure.
You see what I mean? So I get that. Man, the only problem I have with all of this is that I don't want to get rid of any scoring.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, there's been times that without Duncan Robinson, this team would have been done.
Cooked, yep.
And so I don't want to – and he's turned it around a little bit on the defensive end. But I do realize you got to give up something. Those three guys, how about this? I trade those guys. You give me Trae Young. I give you the 15th pick. You give me the first pick. No? Because the draft is nothing. The draft is not that good. So it would sound – I'm a big Duncan fan simply because his evolution from just shooting threes to what he does now, if not for him, the Heat wouldn't even been in the play-in.
Yeah, see, if I'm there, John, I actually don't mind the package that John throws. I don't think the Hawks say yes to that. Like, I don't feel like they're doing this by getting a guy who's a solid player in Terry and Duncan. I feel like you got to go for the youth of getting a Tyler Hero if you're going to do that, you know? Like, that's just the way I would see it going. Like, if the Heat could get that package going, yeah, you're talking about maybe the worst defensive backcourt in the history of basketball. But, but man, they could shoot. Oh, my God. Him and Trey. With Jimmy Bam and I guess, you know, if you're keeping Jovic in that situation, yeah, that would be awesome.
Can the Heat really pull the trigger on that though? Yeah, because you know you're going into that conversation going, listen, Spo, We are gonna suck. can you wait? Pat Riley calls. Here's what he calls. He calls Spo and he says, "Hear me out. We're gonna trade for Trae Young, right? Like, can you sell that to Spo?
Why couldn't you? Because you know what? I think Spo cares about winning more than he cares about anything else. You know what? He reinvented himself after that first year of the Big Three, and they realized, hey, offensively, we stink. And now we're going to go small ball, and it's going to be pace and space and everything else. I think Spo could reinvent himself. I think you'd have a harder time selling it on Jimmy for 82 games a year that, wait a second, now not only do I have to cover up for Tyler Hero, but I got to cover up for Trae Young. I think in that scenario, Tyler goes to the bench, and you bring in a cheaper, and I like to say cheaper, defensive-oriented backcourt mate to go alongside Trae Young. Somebody like Thabo Sefolosha used to be years ago. You know he wasn't going to score 3 points, but he'd go lock somebody down. You bring somebody alongside that during free agency, and you tell Tyler, hey, we're going to put you back in the six-man role. You go, you and Jaime go do exactly what you need to do there, and we try to get things done that way. Leroy, to your point, though, I don't think the Hawks will accept that. I think what they're looking for, honestly, if they do move a Trae Young, is a multitude of first-round picks. And that's going to be hard to come by for the Heat because they treat first-round picks like I treat Taco Bell. They just throw them away as fast as they can devour them. I mean, they're in and they're out. So I don't know if you got enough picks to make it happen. I think the best thing going for the Heat, if that were a scenario, you're looking at Trae Young, is that he doesn't really have a market around the NBA. It seems like for whatever reason, he's been vilified and folks don't like him. Makes no sense to me, but if that drives the price point down for a potential Heat reunion or a Heat union, I'd go for that in a heartbeat.
Well, yeah, like, so can you speak to that a little bit? Like, why do you think that is? I mean, we've heard, like, the John Collins stuff back in the day. Yeah. Like, he didn't seem to love playing with him, but... You know, he does average a lot of assists. Like, what's the deal with that with Trae Young? Like, why is that the knock on him?
I think he's maybe pointed as a coach killer. I mean, you think about it. Lloyd Pierce was there. You have, obviously, the coach that they have now, and I'm drawing a blank.
Oh, Quinn Snyder.
Quinn Snyder. You went and hired him. But they've already gone through three coaches. Nate McMillan was there for a little while. And I think a lot of it has to do with the effort. Like, you look and go watch back and watch the play-in game against Chicago, and I know they were getting blown out earlier. There's times that Trae Young doesn't even try. I mean, literally, it's just, I'm going to stand there and let an Alex Caruso or whoever blow by me. And I think that's part of it. And, you know, they've had multiple team meetings in Atlanta. John Collins spoke to some of that where he talked about they weren't necessarily getting along. And it just doesn't seem like, even though the numbers are great, that Trae has made players around him better. I don't want to say they're empty numbers, but if you can go 26-10 and nobody around you is better, maybe they are. Think about their only run in the postseason as well. The only time they had a run, you had Lou Williams, who was a 30-something-year-old vet coming off the bench. Danilo Gallinari at 30-some-odd years old coming off the bench, helping them. They had veterans that could really corral Trae Young, and that's why I say someplace like Miami would be fantastic because you'd have that. I don't know how true it is that he's not liked, but think about it. No Olympic team, none. They don't even think about it. And he's been left off the All-Star team a couple of times. This year he made it as an alternate, but there were times that he's been left off. How do you average 26-10 in the NBA and nobody votes you in? That's a telling sign.
It is. I get what everybody says about Trae. You immediately look at the numbers, 26-10. But that doesn't tell the whole story in basketball. Mm-hmm. We have this phrase, a looter in a riot, right? Okay. And so you have to figure out what is the impact and what will be the impact of those numbers with the Heat. Now, I'll say this. He will probably be more assist-oriented and maybe not score 26 a game, but his threat of pulling up from anywhere mm-hmm. will have to free some guys up to do what they do inside. I can warm up to that. I'm just saying, on the other side, I just see him with a butt in his face going, oh, no, help. Like the whole time, because that's what the league has become now. We watch these playoffs, and every game, what do they talk about? Oh, they're just going to run the pick and roll till they can get on Luka. They're going to run the pick and roll till they can get on somebody else. How is somebody going? You can't protect Trey from that unless you run the zone.
How much different is that, though, with Terry Rozier? I mean, I love Terry. I think I would have liked to seen him healthy in the playoffs.
Right.
But they seek him out. They seek out Tyler Hero. I mean, the right. same thing can be said pretty much anywhere. Indiana makes it to the Eastern Conference Finals and played about as much defense as we do. Yeah. You know, I mean, they didn't care about defense.
No, they need.
Just figured we could run fast. Let's run fast.
The Heat were playing in a different decade this year. It was awful to watch. Like, it was putrid offense to watch. Like, they need.
They literally scored 80 points in three of the games against the Celtics.
That's what I'm saying, Leroy. Like, he's not my plan A. Like, obviously, I like Spida first or something like that. But like, if it doesn't work out, yeah, I feel like the Heat need to pivot and think, all right, well, what else is out there? Like, what's the next move? If Donovan Mitchell does stay in Cleveland, where else could they go? I just don't think you could turn down that offensive like talent like that if that did become available and there was a reasonable deal like what we're talking about. I don't know if Atlanta says the Robinson Rozier and the pick this year and an extra pick, but like if they did like Tyler, even if you had to do something hard, like if you had to say like Tyler and Jaime for it. I mean, I think if you're the Heat, you got to talk about it. I really do. I think that's something you got to mull over.
I don't want to throw – man, that young talent, like you've been pretty good with your first-round picks for the last few years. I don't want to – like I'm not willing – unless it's a really good player that I know is going to be better than that, to get rid of either either Jovic or Jaime Jaquez, right?
The hardest thing, Leroy, I love, trust me, last year's finals run was electric. Being able to watch that with my son every night, and you know, when they beat Boston in Game 7, I got tears in my eyes like I'm a 10-year-old. Because I, as you guys like to say, goosies galore. Right. Right? It was going on there. But this year was like watching a root canal. Right. Games of that, and an awful play-in game, and a second awful play-in game. I can't do it again. As much as I love Tyler Hero, and I love him, he's one of my favorite players. As much as I love Jaime Jaquez and the potential in Nikola Jovic, if they run it back, that is going to be a really hard sell for everybody. Like, you can't run it back and say, hey, we picked, you know, Rob Dillingham at number 15 or Isaiah Collier at number 15, and this is what we're going to be. Now, you got to shake the tree, and I think it's time, maybe not whale hunting, but you better be looking for a great white somewhere. You need something that's going to shake this thing up.
John, wait, all that being said, who's in the worst spot right now? Atlanta might win the division with making one of the decisions that everybody scratched their head. Right, you give a guaranteed $100+ million to a guy with an Achilles tear, and then draft the quarterback in the first round.
Oh my goodness, the Hawks are in a worse position than the Falcons. At least for the first time in 7 years, the Falcons have some sort of thought that they're going to make the playoffs. I mean, they did do some good things. Kirk's going to be a hell of a lot better than damn Desmond Ridder and Marcus Mariota, who we've had the last couple of years. But I am dumbfounded. Finn and I. And Joe Hamm, and we've got a big old show on in home team. All of us came in that Friday after they took Michael Penix and said, what in the blue hell just happened?
Yep.
If you would have took him at 27th in the first round, cool. You took a guy at number 8 who is, if all goes well, will not play a single damn snap in the next 3 years.
Until he's 30.
Right. We're going to have to give him a fifth-year option before we've ever seen the damn guy play football. What the hell are we thinking? I look at – and I love Terry Fontenot, our GM, but I'm like, Rich McKay must have had his hands in it. Something happened to take Michael Penix number 8 overall. It was nuts.
John, we appreciate the time, man. Thanks so much.
Hey, before we go, let's go Panthers. Let's get this
one. Yes!
Take a damn hell game yes. 7.
Yes!
Oh. We'll take a quick break. Go follow John Michaels on social media at John Michaels U, as he is a big Canes fan as well. But we appreciate John. Go listen to him also on the Odyssey app at 680 The Fan in Atlanta. Appreciate the time, John. We'll